Okay, page 484, but we're on beginning of Parshat Kisisa, which is about the census. Take a census to the children of Israel. According to the numbers, even every man shall give an atonement for his soul. Now it says every man. It's not true. It's not a true statement, because now it changes it. And in verse 14, that's what we're going to discuss tonight. Everyone who passes through the census, who is counted in the census from 20 years of age and up, shall give the portion of Hashem. So the census says only people over the age of 20. Now Rashi, importantly Rashi here says, they don't have it here, article. Very important Rashi that we're going to discuss tonight. The Rashi says it like this, Miben Es Roshona, Vamalo, 20 years and above. Lam Decho, we're going to learn. Kan, from here, She'ein Paches Miben Es Miyotzel Atzavo. Anyone under the age of 20 is not drafted in the Israeli Jewish army. The real Jewish army. There's a Rashi telling us. I mean, he hasn't seen really source for this. Anyone under the age of 20 is not drafted for war. There is a minimum age requirement to make the Israeli army and Jewish Israeli army. I'm talking about the biblical army. Now, happens to be Michal Sinop. We heard of that sefer, of course. The Michal Sinop points out, even though Rashi says this, by the way, Rashi says this in two locations. We'll get to the other one in a second. Even though Rashi says it's in two locations, and it seems like a basic law, the Rambam, Maimonides, never cites this halach. So it's not clear if the Rambam agrees with this or not. Is there such a thing as not being eligible for the army until 20 years old? Now, this is the first time it says it. In the beginning of the census, by Midbar, we're going to have it as well. Perak Aleph, Pasuk Gimel and Bamidbar, says it, which again, they're doing the census over there. Says it as well over there. It says like this. Hashem spoke Moshe saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if a man articulates a vow, no, wrong place. Hold on. By Midbar, Hashem spoke to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of the meeting, saying, take a census of the entire assembly, and in Pasuk 3, from 20 years of age and up. And Rashi here says the same thing. Rashi says we have 20 years of age and up. In Pasuk Gimel, Magid, Aid, Yoit, Mitzvah, Pach, Mibanes. So we have two separate Rashis from two separate Pesachim of saying we only count 20 and up, which form an early census, and it includes now, Michael includes people under the age of Eliezer, people under the age of 20 are not drafted for the army, the Israeli army. The question now, right away asked on the side, wait a second, what do you mean? Why are you saying something twice? Why does the Chumash have to teach us something twice? Why does the Rashi have to tell something twice? So fascinatingly, the Sisachim, who's an interpretation on the side of Rashi, he says like this. He says, there are two types of wars. We're going to discuss that tonight. There's something called obligatory mitzvah wars. Destroy Amalek. That maybe applies for a long time. Knock out the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, of Israel, proper Israel, when Joshua came across. That's an obligatory war. And then there's something called voluntary wars. Voluntary wars is, let's say, you want to expand. You want to expand territory. So there's no obligation to expand territory, but if you need to, so there are rights of be drafted and stuff like that. And they also, the army will go out to service, even though you would say, possibly, how are you allowed to draft an army at all? It's not a mitzvah. You're putting people's lives in danger. We believe saving lives is paramount. The answer is that when it comes to certain things, we, within the system, we allow it. So someone, as Rosen used to say in the old days, when we want to punish someone, is the law by the courts and it's king's law. King's law means if you can't punish a guy on technicality, king's law, the henchmen take him out and take care of the law. Same thing in reverse. Even though normally when someone goes to war, we understand it's a mitzvah obligation. We put people in life in harm's way. Even a voluntary war, that's not obligatory, we will put people in harm's way. But the Sifsa Chacham says, happens to be the Rashi and the Chumash say it in two separate locations to teach us under 20 years old are not drafted. Both types of wars, two different sukkim. A voluntary war, they're not drafted. Obligatory war, they're not drafted. Under 20 is not drafted. Now, it's a slight chiddush, I'll tell you why. Because we have a rule that, from Sukkim as well, that if someone is engaged, they don't go out to the battlefield. They only do back lines. If someone is married, not even back lines. Someone who's married within the first year of marriage, I have to classify that, everyone will get married. Someone who's married within the first year of marriage does not go to the army. You have to stay home with his wife. He has obligations of what he must do for his wife, which we spoke about a few weeks ago, I think, in one of the Thursday night classes. The obligations of a husband has to a wife certain obligations that, that's some of, for the first year, some of lifetime. Now the Mishnah says openly, and the Rambam rules this way, the exemption for newlyweds only applies to voluntary wars. A mitzvah war, they have to go up. So we have a difference now. When it comes to the exemption of marriage, limited to voluntary wars, not obligatory wars. When it comes to the exemption of under 20, we have a Rashi in two locations, and they understand the Rashi. Look at it, because it means both. Under 20 is exempt from both voluntary war and obligatory war. So it means someone who's married is going to be, it can get out of some of the wars, but not all of them. But someone under the age of 20 doesn't go to any wars. Keep them out. Yes, and we're talking about drafted now. Go, Charles.
Were there exemptions for scholars?
The tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi did not battle in the war. Correct. That's open Rambam, open Allah.
In the battle of the conquest of the land of Joshua, they did not battle?
Oh, did they go? I think they don't.
That was a mitzvah war.
Right. The Levies go to mitzvah wars. I think they don't. That's a good question. I don't know now. Now I'm not
but
sure.
You said the Cohen.
It says the Kahanim used to carry the ark. Yes. I'm not sure if that meant all of them, or just those specific people tasked with that. I don't know why I don't know.
Topical question. It's important today. It's a big debate.
Oh, it happens to be two things. Steve Cohen from this class, from this year, told me years ago that in the American Army, right before people go out to battle, I don't know if it's obligatory, if such a thing as obligatory voluntary wars, they get married. They purposely marry people off in order for the wife to get long-term benefits, killed in action. In the Jewish war, in the Jewish world, on a voluntary war, that wouldn't make any sense. You can't get them married. If they get married, then they don't go to the war. Now, by the way, we'll talk about it soon again, the Kesef Mishnah quote by the obvious one. The exemption for married people from voluntary wars is limited when they were married before the war began. So once the war begins, whatever that's called, the war beginning, you can't go find a girl and get engaged to avoid service. You can't dodge a service in that situation. If it's an obligatory war, you're anyway going. And a voluntary war, once the war begins, you don't get the exemptions aren't given out. No marriage is performed to get you out. You can get married if you want.
It's voluntary anyway. So if it's voluntary, you don't have to go.
Oh, no. So let me clarify, but I was not clear. That's good. I made a mistake. Voluntary war means that it's not obligatory war. It lets you to extend the land. But the king and army still get to draft people. Voluntary doesn't mean you choose to go. Voluntary means they didn't have to go. If the army didn't have to fight, if the army is extending the land for space, not because they want to clear out 1 mile in an area because they're afraid of bombs attacking them, that might be obligatory. But if they just want to extend land, they need new housing, that's a voluntary war, not necessary. And they can draft everyone, but the newly married people, the newlyweds, they cannot draft. But once the war begins, there is no exemption for marriages. You can't use the exemption to get out of war, right? So if the war begins, again, a married person is anyway going to obligatory wars. But the engaged people can't decide, I'm going to get engaged because the war began. Because the minister says, no, that's not, that we don't accept it today.
I got to ask you a question.
Ask away.
Okay. Hashem gave us the land, all right? So how can we expand the land? It's just, we can't go beyond what Hashem gave us.
So yes. That's so great. There's two answers. We're going to go because two locations. If when the Hashem gave us the land, we didn't necessarily take over everything. Didn't have enough army, even in Joshua's time. Even when they came up from Babel, they didn't actually inhabit that all the areas. There were some areas that this wasn't worth the fight. So sometimes they will extend within the land of Israel.
So that's not voluntary. That's what we're supposed to be taking.
Yeah. So we're going to go outside the land of Israel. The place they call it Sura. You may remember those Gemaras? Where they extended a little out and the question will be like, in those lands, do they now take on the holiness of Eretz Yisrael? That's discussed. That means when they extend out for land, it could be those new locations become under the sovereign nation of Israel and become holy as well. So it could be the bare minimum gets a certain holiness, but when they start extending out, they get it as well.
So why do they talk about the mess of the Euphrates River is going to be the border? Isn't that considered some medrash like the...
That eventually when Mashiach comes, so everything will be extended out.
Is that considered our land originally assigned to us, or is that going to be a voluntary war to expand?
I don't know. I mean, Mashiach comes, we'll figure it out. It's not a... is that called initially assigned to us? I don't think so. I think it's just saying it's a promise. That's what I think. That's how I'm reading it.
And what about the half... What about Manasseh, half Manasseh, and...
Well, that side has... That side has holiness of
Eretz. When did we lose it? When did it? But it never, it's never any map that shows going on the other side of the river.
Right. Other side. It's the west side of Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was that ever part of Israel? I don't think so.
They're all good questions. Because these are very discussed topics. According to many, which I know is controversial, a lot does not have holiness of Israel. It's too far south. So some say Gaza has no holiness of Israel.
There's also different halachas. There's also different halachas regarding truma, where you take truma, don't take truma.
Everyone discusses this. The difference why everyone discusses what has holiness of Israel is because that's the more discussed. You need tithing. Many of the tithings are only applicable inside the land of Israel, of the holiness of the land in Israel. So if you extend out and you're living there, it depends on the certain circumstances will extend the holiness. If it does not extend the holiness, tithing laws won't apply. Chalo is a big question. Chalo applies outside of Israel. Some of these things become very, that's why, and by the way, as Bode and I might know, according to some, when some of these laws not only need Eretz Yisrael and Jews in Eretz Yisrael, it needs a majority of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Right now, we do not have a majority of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And a big debate's coming, because according to statistics, which mean nothing, because things change with one bomb, by the year, I think it was 2047 or something, they expect most of the Jews in the world to be living in Israel proper. And if that when we hit 50.01% of Jews in the world, whatever we count as Jews, in Eretz Yisrael proper, possibility, certain laws become biblical again. Right now, most of the tithes are not biblical, because in the end we don't have the majority, we don't have the certain kedushas are left because we don't have a temple. But when the 50.01% kicks in, we're gonna have a problem. Now some say, Chazanish seems to say it, that even when most of the majority of people and will be in Israel, it won't trigger these things. Because when it says majority, it doesn't mean majority living there. It means they have to have entered at the same time. So a trickle of two people coming in a day and tipping the scale from the rest of the world to the proper land of Israel would not be good enough to trigger things. You need like a mass entry simultaneously that will happen. Not trickle. These are all discussions that go on a daily event. But back to our discussion today. Rashi openly says, people under the age of 20 are not drafted for the army. We also know that for voluntary wars, even though everyone is drafted, newlyweds are not drafted. For obligatory wars, newlyweds are drafted. We're assuming, for now, that under 20 is not drafted for any wars. And by the way, it wouldn't be such to make sense. What's the reason someone under 20 doesn't get drafted? Why not? If it's an obligatory war, what does obligatory mean? You have to go conquer Amalek, conquer land of Israel, like you said. So why is a 13-year-old not obligated? 13-year-old's obligated in all mitzvahs. We say, no, you don't go to the army until 20. Why not? It has to be my assumption that someone under the age of 20, the army has to function. And someone under the age of 20, we don't believe will function correctly. So then we don't want to do that for the obligatory wars either. If it's a lack of ability, mental competence,
frontal lobe development,
strength of being able to handle pressure, physical strength to hold a gun, aim and accuracy, all these things, we would say under 20, you're out. Okay, so then under 20, you're out for everything. You've got obligatory wars. Why not? If you're a detriment to the army.
What about serving in the back line?
Oh, get to that in a minute.
Well, you're saying that in an obligatory war, under 20, you are accepted?
No. So I'm saying, well, according to most, under 20, you are not drafted. We're talking about drafting now. No one gets drafted under the age of 20 ever. Not voluntary wars, not obligatory wars. When it comes to newlyweds, we will draft newlyweds for obligatory wars. So I'm saying, why are 20-year-olds treated, under 20, treated better than married people? So the answer can be, married people have an exemption. They're obligated to have an exemption. So for an obligatory war, we're going to send them. For a voluntary war, we won't send them. But a guy under 20 is not an exemption because he's obligated, not obligated, because we don't want the guy in the army. We're not drafting him legally, but we're not drafting him because we don't want him. So since we don't want him, it would make sense to say, we don't want these guys here no matter what. Now the Michel Sinek writes, the under 20 exemption applies both obligatory and voluntary wars. Hope there's a question.
What about somebody who's afraid of sin?
So someone who's afraid of sin, he gets out of it. The Chumash says that they make an announcement, someone's afraid of sin, get out of here.
Afraid of sin?
That means he's again, you have to know, Bodan's going to point out if you need witnesses and stuff. But let's say it's an open pasuk at the end of, it's a choice to book, hold on. Pretty sure.
What does it mean to be afraid? Is that a Milchamas Rishos or Milchamas Mitzvah also?
I think it's both. Hold on.
What is it both?
End of this. Hold on a second. Let's try the end of the Seitze. Hold on, hold on. Could erase these 27 seconds.
Yeah. Also, we need to clarify what Michael's asking.
Yeah, oh, so, well, he's at, yeah, we'll go through it once and it's fine. Here's the pasuk. Now we are going to what they say on the side, when Israel goes to war. Well, this is a mitzvah, by the way. One of the 613 mitzvahs.
What page?
We are after. In, we are 20, dvarim, 21, 20, colon 1. And on the side also says, when Israel goes to war, one of the 613 mitzvahs is to anoint a Kohen who's going to be like a general Kohen. Here's what it says. When you go out to the battle against your enemy, and you shall see the horse and chariot and people, do not fear them. That's a biblical commandment, number one. In war, rely on God, don't fear. Then it says, you have a Kohen who approaches the battlefield. He says to the people, hear Hashem, today you are coming to the battle. He gives them like a pep talk. Don't be afraid. Don't panic. Don't be broken before them. And now it says these words on the side. Verse 5, 20, colon 5. Those unqualified to fight. Then the officers, you have to know if it's the same Kayan or the officers, different people, shall speak to the people saying, who is the man who shall build a new house and is not inaugurated? Go home. Next passage. Who is the man who planted and has not redeemed it? Go home. And then what we're discussing now. And who is the man who's engaged, not married, engaged and not married? Go home. Go home. Why? Because these people are out. We're not finished. The officers shall continue. This is what Bodenheim is asking right now. Those shall continue to the people speaking. Who is the man who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house. Don't melt the heart of his fellows like his own heart. When the officers finish speaking, the leaders of the legion take command. So here we have. Here we have that we are telling people that whoever's fearful. Let's see if it says over here, Oscar says anything? No. Now, Oscar's saying with the Gemara, what do you mean a guy's fearful? The Kohen now left the scene. Officers made their way. There are two opinions in the Talmud. According to Rikiva, the Torah meant literally that a cowardly people should leave the field. You're a coward? Get out of here. You're going to be bad for it. He was not. Now, what's the reason? If someone is cowardly, that means he lacks faith. Lacks faith, he doesn't have the positivity merit to go for. We said a few weeks ago, by the way, that God judges people during times of wrath more seriously. There's no more time of wrath in the middle of war. So if the person sitting in the middle of war is being judged extra carefully. If you're lacking a faith, don't rely on being in a miracle. According to Beresh HaGlili, this declaration was directed at someone who was fearful and faint-hearted because he was a sinner. And he knew he was unworthy of God's help. In order to protect his dignity, the Torah also freed those with new homes and so forth. So we're making announcements of saying, you got the exemption. Part of the reason we do it is to not to embarrass those that are nervous. Why are you nervous? Either the nervousness shows a lack of belief, or you're nervous because you know you have lack of belief. All right? Similar, but not the same. So now, we're letting these people go. Bodenheim wants to know, do we let them go from obligatory wars as well? This passage is only discussing non-obligatory wars, voluntary wars. That's what we're letting the husband go home. We said when it comes to obligatory wars, they have to go. Now he's asking, what about fearful people? Do they go to obligatory wars? Not sure. I would say not. Similarly to on someone under 20. If the reason we're sending these people home is because they're going to ruin the battlefield, we don't want these people there. So I would guess the same way an under 20-year-old, according to most, gets exempted at obligatory wars. We can assume those fearful. But this might be an open Gemara, and I'm just forgetting it offhand. Having a week night with all these good questions today. So we have the concept of these people getting redeemed. Now, how this question on the Mechasenach is this. The Mechasenach openly states, those under 20 are exempt from obligatory wars. Now, during certain wars, we have certain leniencies. As we know, they don't have to eat kosher during a war. When you're in the middle of the battlefield, you don't got to wait to kosher the food. You got to eat. Got to be strong. As well, we have a law we're not going into called the captive woman. The Mechasenach discusses the captive woman and says, can a minor under the age of 13, have a captive woman or not? He discusses it. Hubner's question is a different question. Rabbi Mechasenach, it's a good question. Could someone under 13 take a girl to be captive? You know, the whole thing. No one under 20 is in the army. What are you talking about? You yourself, Rabbi Mechassanef, are saying that when it comes to the exemption of under 20, it applies to voluntary wars and obligatory wars. All wars. So what are you saying now? Someone under 20 is there, and he gets a captive woman. Go.
His father got the captive woman, and his father died and inherited her.
I don't know if that works that way. I don't think it works. I don't think it happened. I don't think
he's not a slave. When he takes her, he's not a slave.
Not, I don't think so.
He can't inherit her?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Good point, though. So I came up with two answers. One answer is we're discussing an under 20 year old that was drafted. It was wrong. Under 13 was drafted. In the laws of army, it was wrong. Okay, but now he got the girl. Do we let him keep it or not? We're not discussing an ideal case. It's not an ideal case. Just because the guy broke the rules of the army and he lied about his age or they didn't care about his age doesn't mean none of the rules apply. The problem will be if he's under 13, does he have a right to take a woman? Or it could be what I wanted to say. When it's discussing drafting someone under the age of 20, when it discusses ladies not being going out to be drafted, can they volunteer? The law is saying under 20, Rashi's phrase is someone under 20 doesn't go to the army. It could be read, he's not drafted in the army. That's probably how you read it. But he could volunteer. It's a big thing now. You could have a guy who just says, I'm exempt, but I'm volunteering. Now, Hovda wants to say, a married guy can't volunteer. Why not? Because you have an obligation to your wife.
Right, yeah, no, he's under certain exemptions.
Right, his exemption is because we need him to be with his wife. So now, if his wife allows it, then maybe he can go. If the wife... The reason a newlywed is not allowed to go to the army is because he has a pre-contract on him for 1 year. The contract states, when you're married the first year, you owe your newlywed bride X, Y, and Z. If you can't come out and volunteer to the army, it doesn't work that way. You have an obligation, your money goes there. If she says, don't worry, join the army, it's a debate among early commentators if she can. Some say, of course you can. The only reason I'm going is because you have an obligation to her. But someone under the age of 20 doesn't have obligations. It's not he's obligated to someone else. He's under 20. We don't draft such a person. We decided we don't trust these people. If the guy volunteers, we check him out. Does he seem mentally strong? Does he seem physically strong? Does he seem like he can handle the battlefield? Maybe we'll let him in. That volunteer guy, if he gets a captive woman, can he keep the captive woman? That's what it's saying. Right. Either it's a case where the guy broke the rules, and the army broke the rules, but he's on the battlefield. He's there. Or no, he volunteered. It's possible that one can volunteer. The army cannot draft them, but voluntary could be allowed. I'm doing a lot here tonight. We're following it. I have a bomb question now. We said before, open to the public, because I have no good answer for this. We said before, that if the war begins, you can't go and get married. Because you can't rely on the exemption of a marriage to get yourself out of a war. A guy who's 19 years old, maybe he can volunteer, maybe not, he's not drafted as well. Now, let's say this is a story. A war began, voluntary war, the war began. Every 20-year-old is drafted, you're in. You get married, now we don't care. Everyone under 20 doesn't have to come. Can't come. Maybe volunteer, but you can't come. We're not drafting. We're not drafting anyone under 20. And once the war begins, we are drafting people who get married right now. We were previously married. No, you get married right now, you're out. Let's say the 19 and a half year old goes now and gets married. What happens when he turns 20? Let's do this slowly. He's 19 and a half. He's not being drafted. The war began, which means technically we don't allow marriages to be a draft dodger. Is the guy getting married at 19 and a half a draft dodger? Do we look at him as the war begins, all marriages are off? When he turns 20, you have an exemption until you're 20 years old. We don't draft you until you're 20. You're 20. Let's go. Join the war effort. Or do we look at it that when he was 19, he wasn't in the war effort? So when we said you can't get married as a draft dodger, are you dodging the draft right now when you're giving this lady a ring? We don't accept that. But the 19 and a half year old, he's not dodging the draft right now. He's 19 and a half.
So it seems like there's not even a question. It seems very
passionate. Well, when he's doing that draft, okay. You say no question which way?
No question that at 19 and a half, he's not obligated in the war effort. Let him get married. Great.
And that this war, this marriage will supersede when it takes place. in 6 months when, if not for the marriage, we would have drafted him. Oh, okay. You can go both ways. You're confident. Go one. I'm going both.
Are you saying that once the war starts, they say to everybody on Earth, you are no longer allowed to get married right now?
You can get married, but you won't get out of the army.
So this
they don't draft 100% of people.
Is allowed to get married.
He's allowed to get married.
And once he's allowed to get married?
So you're not looking at the war effort. Wait. Oh, can you go that way? He's allowed to get married.
And you've already said that in this particular voluntary war, married people are exempt from the first year. So he's exempt.
He could get married.
He got lucky.
He could be drafted when he's 20 and a half.
That's for sure. Yes, that's for sure.
Or after the first year of marriage.
That's 20 and a half, yes. So you're both leaning to the fact that he technically found a loophole in the system.
I consider a loophole for 6 months. If he did it a day before he was 20, then there's a war, I say, come on.
I don't know. At least Charles is consistent. If you're going that he found the technicality, then he has technicality.
Plus, if he did it a second before he was...
if you found a loophole...
To me, that's hypocritical.
So how far are you going to go with this? You're saying 6 months, yeah, where are you drawing the line? 1 week?
Is your 19th year considered, is 1 minute into your 19th year, or your 20th year into your 20th?
Oh,
like that's
humble. I want to say something like this. I wasn't going to say it. The Master Vitri, that's a Rishon Rashi time. The Master Vitri says, what is this thing that 20 years old? What's a 20? What happens at 20 years old? And now we trust guy? Before 20, we don't consider you with a gun. An hour and a half later, we consider you, okay, now you can vote. And shoot a gun? You can pick an arbitrary thing. We don't believe in arbitrary stuff.
But in the Torah it says for Moses to take a census of the 20-year-olds.
Yes.
So it's a Torah thing.
That's on the census. We extended Rashi extended to the ark.
Well, doesn't that mean when you
census was again, maybe? I mean, Rashi says census means army too, but no, I could have said census means military.
Most had to count those people who were military fit for 20 and old.
Well, you're adding those words in.
But isn't it in the Torah?
The Torah's words are it's a vague word. The Torah's words are
for the census.
For the census is that let me get the exact words here from Bamidbar. You'll see the Rishonim debate what this word means.
I wonder what the Max's victory though is.
Max's victory. Oh, don't get this. Max's victory. 1 second. It says like this. Take a census. For 20 years up, everyone who goes out, and the word in Hebrew is Saba B'Yisrael. The Ramban says. In his first interpretation, 20 up means army.
Yeah.
But then he says, that's not true. If you look around the word sub, we use as army. Sub means gathering. Public opinion polls, voting rights, these things. And back then was 20.
Yeah, why was the census at 20? Well, how come the census could have been at 21? It could have been at 19. Why 20?
But you could be a baby. I'm agreeing with you. But you could be a baby and say, for census is 20, for army it's 16 or 23.
20 is also the age where you get punished for sin as well.
Oh, at 20 years old, it is true. At 20 years old, you are now, from the Torah, it says that she was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. Rashi, what does it mean? Why don't you say 27? 100 years, 7 years, 20. What are you doing weird? Rashi says, because up until 20, someone does not get punished with heavenly punishments. Down here, a 13-year-old becomes liable a mitzvah, and the courts will punish the person. The human courts. If at 13 someone kills someone, he's tried as an adult. If at 13 someone's Machal Shabbos, tried as an adult. But in God's heavenly court, we assume front lobe stuff till 20, he doesn't get punished. So if he did something that the human courts don't punish for, but the heavenly court, he's off till 20. That's a Rashi, maybe Gemara's in the Vina Chaisar.
Heard this before. I thought,
wishing you were 19 again.
I thought when a boy is 20, 13 years old, he has all the obligations. And that, as a man.
Yeah. Okay. Now, he says like this. The Maximitri says, fascinating. He argues in everything we're saying until now. The Maximitri learns that the exemption of under 20 is equated with the exemption of a newly married person, which means obligatory wars, they have to go. An obligatory war, all hands on deck. Under 20 and married, all hands on deck. You must go. Why did I bring this up just now? What did you say a second ago?
I said, with this 20 mean 19 years in one
month, you're 19 years. Oh, brilliant. So the Maximitri says, two things. One I just told you, obligatory war. Now the second thing he says this. What's 20 years old? So we said before, there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says it, I don't know if I said it before. The Mishnah of us says, it gives you dates. At 5 years old, start learning from it.
Yeah.
It says they're 18 years old, married.
20 years old job.
Oh, that's funny. Chaskel said 20 is a job. When it says the word 20 is, it says you're a pursuer. The Rav, Rashi, and profession. What does a pursuer 20 mean? Livelihood. That's the easiest.
It says pursue a livelihood.
Well,
it doesn't say livelihood.
It doesn't say livelihood. You have, it depends on Hebrew. You have a chumash at the end of Perek Hay in the Masechta Avos.
I thought it says before a man gets married, he has to build that house.
Wait, that's something else. End of Perek Hay.
Does that mean he has to earn a living? He has to work prior to getting married?
Maybe. Here it goes. Amazing. Hu Yaima. Ben Chameshanim, 5 years old, begins scripture. 10 begins Mishnah. 13 becomes obligated to observe commandments. 15 becomes the study of Torah. 18 years old, marriage. 20 years old. Look at this. 20 years old in Hebrew, ben esem lirdoif. Lirdoif means pursue. Oscar, at 20 years old, begins pursuit. Look what they did here, Oscar. Can you get that? Of a livelihood, in parentheses. Of a livelihood, under my finger.
Yeah.
In parentheses. You can see it on. Yeah. Pursuit is true. Easy interpretation, livelihood. But many of the commentators say, no, at 20, you have the ability to go fight for war. Pursue in war means aggressive. One of the rabbis want to say like this.
How do you get that?
One of the rabbis want to say it works together. At 18 years old, you have to get married. And when a guy gets married, he said before, automatically obligations are placed upon him for 1 year of marriage, first year newlywed obligations. That's a full year. When that full year ends is when you're able to go to the army. So when is that? Not at 20 years old. At his 20th year, means his 19th birthday. If a guy gets married at 18 years old, literally when he turns 18.
Yeah.
Then from 18 years old to 19 years old, he's obligated to his wife 1 year. Army exemption. When it says 20 to the army, it means 19. Okay, your 20th year. 20th year begins at 19, which means the 18 and the 20 are not the same. When it says 18 years old to get married, it means when you turn 18. When it says 20 for army, it doesn't mean 20.
So it could mean 17 in one day and you get married.
Then it wouldn't make 18. Sense though. Because then it wouldn't make sense with 20.
That means you're going into your 20th year.
Yes, because at 1 year old, when you turn one, you're going to your second year. So now this would mean that a whole rent. According to this Master Vitri, Orishan, not 20 is the exemption, 19 is the exemption. Under 19, but when you hit 19, you're out.
It's a detail that
everyone doesn't realize.
It's like when we do Tehillim. If you're a certain age, you do the next Tehillim.
Yes, that's about it. Yes. You're only at 21. Good example.
It's chilling off.
We threw a lot of information here. Yeah, go.
If you can go with that, with 20, with the number 20, that it really means 19 in one day, then really you could do it with every single number that's given in this Avos.
Well,
yeah,
when you read the Masechta Avos, it becomes a big issue.
That's good.
The Rambam writes that marriage is 17. And they all say that he means, I think the Rambam says it, that he means, because he reads 18 as 17.
Does he mean 18 as 17? 18th year.
That's 17
when they get married. That's
right. Okay, but then my point, which I pointed out to Charles, you know, the 20th.
Charles is right.
Yes and no. The Gemara denotes on the second. Weird.
What applies to one?
A man should get married at the beginning of his 18th year.
That means 17 in one day.
17.
That's the basis. That the quoting from the Master Vitri, by the way. Oh, they will say it again. One should not do so before the age of 18. Since the burden of supporting a wife will impede his Torah study. I don't even know what that means. Rational answer, biblical illusion. Man, don't do it anymore. Did I say it on bottom? I can't, they don't say it on bottom. Okay, don't say it. But there is, yes, at each one of these times, sometimes it's going to sound like at 5 years old, you begin learning. Does that mean 4 years old?
Right.
Becomes a question. But the Masevich is learning with 20 goes on 18 being 18. Sure. 20 means 19.
You could look at it maybe that when he's 18, he has a year to get married. So he has his full 18th year to get married. A year later would be then that the earliest he would be able to join the army would be 20 years old.
So the question then would be like this. Is it a general thing? Let's say the guy did get married at 18 and 3 months. Would we wait to 19 and 3 months? Or now we always give a guy a year to get married, and therefore we always start the army at 20? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying both ways. What does it mean 20? Maybe because we give everyone 1 year to get married. So we give them from 18 to 19 to get married, then we give them 1 year. obligation to your wife, and then at 20 you start the army. What do I both want to say something?
I was gonna say with the Mohammed's mitzvah, Kobe, it's a fight for survival, so it's all hands on deck, regardless of, you know, not even that they're being drafted, just, you know, they're pushed into it, so there's no other choice.
By obligatory war.
You may have a 13-year-old fighting because, you know, he's gotta fight for survival. And then maybe he could take a foreign woman then, right?
If it's gonna save lives, you bring a 13-year-old on board. Because saving lives always comes is paramount to everything. But the standing now. Okay, till next time.